Hi, and welcome to another episode of Her Healthful. I'm Araste, your host, and we have another guest episode today, which is really exciting because this one's a bit of a different topic, and it still has that wellness flavor, and you'll definitely take home some tips that will help your mental health. But I really wanted to just like bring on some new guests and different types of topics just to keep things fresh and fun on here. I don't want topics to get stagnant and just want this to be a very educational platform. So today's episode is with Robin DiPrato. And a funny story of how I met her. So Robin is my boyfriend's sister's best friend. Take that in for a second, or, you know, you don't even need to know the relationship. Basically, I met her because my boyfriend's sister once got me like a gift of a tarot reading, and her friend does tarot readings. So this is Robin who I'm talking about. And yeah, that's how we met, I guess. And that's how we got introduced. That was my first tarot reading, which was super interesting. And yeah, I feel like she's really multifaceted and does a bunch of different things. So she does interior design as well, and she works in film. So very interesting and multifaceted, which obviously we love and I totally respect as somebody who kind of does the same. But yeah, I love interior design, and I know that many of you do as well. And you know, you can really feel the difference between a room that's curated in a way that you want, that's calming, that kind of fits your vibe, versus one that is maybe messy and cluttered and doesn't really represent who you are and that vibe that you want to create. So we talk all about interior design and how to curate a space that might be the most beneficial for your well-being, and how there's so much science behind this, how your environment makes such a big impact on your mental health. So really interesting stuff packed in this episode. I really hope you enjoy it. I was going to record a different episode for this week. It was supposed to be a solo episode, but life is getting a little bit hectic. April is going to be insane. And we're just trying to stay consistent on here. So sometimes that's going to mean more guest episodes, because personally, I find those a lot easier to record. So yeah, hope you guys enjoy these guest episodes as well. And I hope they bring a lot of value. But yeah, I am just going to get into this episode. I'm trying to think if I have any updates. The main update is that I'm going to LA in a few days for a conference / vacay. And I'm super excited to leave the city. It's my first trip of the year. We're in basically April, so much overdue. And yeah, I will definitely take you along the trip on Instagram, so be sure to follow me there. And I'm just like really looking forward to this one last break before really grinding in April and May, and basically until I defend in the summer. That is basically what's new with me. It's really not much, but I'm just gonna get into this episode. So I hope you enjoy. And one last thing to note, I'm really not accustomed to doing in-person guest episodes, and so I don't know how to place the microphone so that we both sound good. So you'll notice that in this episode, my voice sounds very distant and not as clear and audible as Robin's, which honestly worked in our favor because she had the more important stuff to say anyways. So you might just have to turn it up a bit to hear my questions. I apologize. I will figure it out, I promise. But yeah, you can still hear me. It's just you can hear her way better. Let's get into the episode with Robin DiPrato. Hi, everyone. I'm here with Robin DiPrato. It's so nice to meet you in person.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. It's going to be great.
I know. I think this topic, or like this area of wellness, is something I haven't spoken about a lot, but when you kind of like told me you were thinking about this and you kind of touch upon this yourself in your work, I was like, yeah, that totally makes sense. And somebody who's being really obsessed with interior design myself, I think it just works really well. So before we get into the topic and just, you know, go down that rabbit hole, maybe for people who don't know you, like an elevator pitch of yourself and just, yeah, what you kind of want people to know.
Yeah, totally. So my name is Robin DiPrato. I'm the owner and founder of Roses on Adelaide. It's an interior styling and consulting business. I work with people, often people who are renting or have small spaces and they're just trying to make sense of it. I really focus in my design work in I focus on really making spaces that allow people to feel like the most elevated, best version of themselves. Create environments that are conducive of who you want to be, not like what looks trendy or cool, that really reflects you so you can really be the best version of yourself. So that's kind of what inspired me. It's what I wanted to focus on for a really long time. And it's what I have found my clients have connected to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I feel like you probably focus on making spaces also functional, because in Toronto, at least, the condos and the spaces can be really small.
Totally.
And for me, I'm just like, okay, I need more storage. I need ways where something always has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Like I can have things that look nice, like knickknacks, but when you put too much in a small space, I think it kind of like overloads you and you're just like, but I could be using this for something more functional. So it seems like you're taking like this intersectional approach where it's like, it can look nice, but it can also function. Serve a purpose. Yeah.
It's a huge thing for me, visual decluttering. Mm-hmm. And also, especially right before I work with a client, I'm like, send me a picture of how your space looks day to day. Don't clean it up for me. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything different so I can see what you use the most and what is functional for you. Because yeah, you can make a beautiful space, but if you can't use it, or if you're like digging through things to find one thing you need, it's not really going to work for you. And it's going to actually have an opposite effect, an adverse effect, and make you more stressed out. So it's really combining, okay, how can we make this functional and beautiful?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what made you get into interior design in the first place? Like, did you always want to do this? Did you always like designing your own room when you were, mm-hmm. Living at your family's home? Like, how did it start for you?
It's a really interesting question and something I've been ruminating on, especially this past year. So long story short, I was working on a hotel project for about 7 years that was all focused on biophilic design. So integrating, that's basically the idea where you're integrating nature into your space and the benefits of that. And the hotel was rooted in forest bathing, which is reconnecting to nature and walking through nature. And through that, it was a design project, but it was one rooted in wellness and nature. And that's where I sort of began to really love design and really understand the benefits deeply. I mean, before that, I was always decorating my space. And it was like, I got this place about 8 years ago, 7.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's where I was like, wow, this is so fun. And this is so interesting and cool. Mm-hmm. And so it was at a superficial level that I enjoyed design. And then when I started working on that project that since we had to end, but I was like, there is so much more to design than simply like having a beautiful space. Yeah. It can really help you and help you function better. So kind of like that. And I think like when I was younger, I remember I wanted like, do you remember those egg chairs? Like those big chairs that I wanted one of those. So there was always like things mm-hmm. I wanted. And now that I put the puzzle pieces together, I'm like, definitely, this makes total sense.
Yeah.
And then like my day job, I work in set decorating and props and film. Nice. So it's all sort of like very weirdly connected. Yeah.
I know. That's so cool. Yeah. I'm like looking at your bookcase right now and I'm like, oh, it's all color coded.
Yeah.
And it just visually looks like really easy to look at.
Totally. And I have a lot of, it's a very divisive thing.
Yeah.
Color coded bookshelves. Mm-hmm. People either hate them or love them.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, it works.
Well, for me, I'm like, I'm able to, I have a very visual brain. So some people like, oh, you don't actually read if you color code your bookshelf.
Right.
But I'm like, I actually remember the cover of all my books. So that's kind of why I do it that
so
way.
Yeah. So it's like personal preference is also
totally,
a huge thing in
totally.
Design.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I want to get into like design and wellness.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's kind of a focus of the podcast.
Totally,
and my platform.
So
how do you think the spaces we spend time in affect our well-being and mental health? Very big question. So like go in like sections and stuff, but I think it's very intuitive that it does affect it. But are there like concrete things that, you've seen?
So what's really interesting is it's something that's being studied more and more. Neuroscientists are studying architecture a lot more because mm-hmm. they're realizing, hey, these spaces we exist within are actually impacting how well our brains function. So there's been tons of study and research that shows, you know, the amount of light we get will affect how happy we are in our space, and the amount of natural light we get versus artificial light will affect how we function in our space. There was a study that was like, students in a space that was naturally lit for an exam performed like 15% better on an exam than students who were in a space with artificial light. So there's all those really practical things, but there's also little things like the idea of having different objects together, but only a certain number allows your brain to really focus on those things. So there's actually quantifiable things that have proven the connection between wellness and space. And the big one for me is the idea, like I said, of biophilic space. So like nature integrated into your space and how much that benefits you. So like having plants and having different little things that allow you to feel like your space is integrated into the natural world, I guess, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I feel as though the exam one that you just mentioned, the study, I have memories from U of T, like writing an exam in sort of a basement situation where it's like dreary and you already feel anxious and miserable, and so that can just compound it.
Totally.
And I don't know, maybe I did do worse on those exams.
Right? That's what I was thinking when I read that. I was like, maybe I'm so curious to see how I did on that exam versus one in a well-lit space.
Yeah, because like there was just so many different places we wrote exams. It wasn't just one standard one.
Yeah, but, totally.
Yeah, beyond that, I remember when I was looking for my apartment, one of my like top things in my kind of make or break list was lighting.
100%.
Like I need natural light because I just know that that makes me happy. Like I couldn't explain it. I was just like, A, it makes me happy. And also for me being in content creation space, lighting is everything.
Of course. Yeah.
So yeah, there were just some places with like the smallest window or the bedroom had no windows. And I'm like, this feels like a jail cell. So I don't know. I don't know if this is too specific to talk about, but for lighting.
Yeah, I have tons of stuff
tons
on
of
that.
Stuff? Okay, cool, yeah.
So like poor lighting can actually increase your anxiety and stress. So if you're in a space that's really dimly lit, unless it's like mood lighting and you're like, you know, it's a choice. But if you're trying to work in a space that's dimly lit, it can be super hard on your brain. So it can cause anxiety because you're not able to engage with this space properly. Now, on the opposite side, two bright lights that are artificial can be really overstimulating and stress you out on the other side. So like, it's this really interesting balance, but the best kind of way for me to think about it is natural light is the thing to like kind of aim for. And now we can't all do that. So there are light bulbs now that kind of mimic natural lighting. So there's options of that. And I have some links to that on my website too, like on one of my blog posts about this topic. So people can see that, or I can like send that to you.
Sure.
Lighting will hugely affect your productivity and concentration. So if you're in a space with natural lighting, you're not, your brain isn't having to overwork. You're able to kind of focus on what's there. So it really allows you to be more productive. I mean, there's so much research on lighting and your mental health. It's truly like insane once you go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
so,
and it just seems like there's so many ways to help your mental health that this seems very tangible and simple.
Totally.
Like, obviously there's restrictions with where you live and what like, you're facing and stuff, but it seems like something like maybe light bulbs that mimic natural light could be a way to help. I'm not saying it's going to like solve all your problems, but it might just take like the edge off when you're studying for an exam.
Exactly.
To have lighting that's more welcoming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's in, when I started reading about that, I was like, just reflecting and being like, how has that affected me? And I was like, places where, and I really thought about how being in a space that felt natural and filled with natural lighting, I just felt calmer. And it really, I just started noticing it and I was like, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
So I really make an effort to work in places as much as I can that have that natural light.
Yeah, there's so in my place, like my kitchen has these lights that are like above the oven and those overhead lights. And I don't know why the owners or whatever decided to put like the coolest temperature,
the worst
light. And I, for the life of me, cannot find this specific type of light bulb.
Oh no.
And I'm, cause I just like, I can't use those lights. If I turn them on, I immediately get anxious.
Yeah, I get it.
There's like another, there's the main ones for the living room that are warmer and they're fine. So I just keep those on.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it stresses me out to have them totally. On. And sometimes James turns them on and I'm like, no, please.
Turn this
them
is
on.
So ugly. Yeah. You know what you can do? You can get, there's like films you can put over it.
Okay.
If you did end up wanting to put it on, that can make it warmer.
Oh, it can make, even if it's cool to begin with?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so if you get a more orange like film, then it will make it more, it will make
like
it warmer.
Like I need that. Yeah. Especially
I just, that's like a film tip, but like, cause we do it all the time in film, but it makes a big difference.
Okay. I should look into that.
Yeah. I'll try and find some links to that.
Yeah, sure. That'd be super helpful.
Yeah. But it's true. And like, once you notice it, you can't unnotice it.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, for me, lighting is a big one. Another thing for me is just how many things are out, like the clutter, the visual clutter.
Mm-hmm.
It can stress me out.
Didn't Chanel once say, like, when you put on an outfit, get rid of one thing? That's sort of what I feel about a space. It's like, okay, you think your space is perfect.
Yeah.
Get rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
It will always feel better.
Yeah. I think it's, for me, especially when I'm, say, organizing and decluttering and just moving things around, I physically feel lighter.
Yes.
And, like, I can breathe.
And especially, like, I've struggled with anxiety my whole life. And that's kind of maybe where this all began, where I was, like, I noticed I was more relaxed when I was out in nature, out at my grandma's house in the country and all those sort of things. But what can happen is, like, when you see things, like, organizing. I love, like, I remember I saw your, like, labels you have on all your spices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
Your brain, again, actually functions better when there's uniformity with that kind of thing. So when you have all these spices, all like, you can't. You're already subconsciously kind of stressed out because you're like, okay, I'm looking for this thing and everything looks different. But when there's that uniformity and when it all looks similar, you're automatically more calm dealing in the situation.
Yeah, you're using less brain space to just like think about that and where things are, which I think we need more of. Like we need to free up more brain space in our daily life.
Especially on the things that don't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my spices to stress me out. Exactly. So how can I like streamline that to be not a stressful activity?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I want to touch on, what was it called?
Biophilic design.
Biophilic design.
Yeah.
So other than plants, which I love as well, I'm like, every time I go to a plant shop, I can't not leave with one.
It's so hard.
But what are other elements that might like resemble nature?
So stone, like any marble or natural, like, so there's really small things you can get, like a marble catch-all will have that effect. Adding wood into your space, anything that kind of mimics natural design. So like a big thing is avoiding like a lot of straight lines in your space. So rather having, instead of having more curves and having more natural streams, I guess is the way to think about it. And like arches are a great way to mimic nature. And a huge one for me is marble, or like something that mimics stone or marble.
Yeah.
Like I love having just a big piece of natural material. Like it's every bit of my space. I make sure there's always something like a branch or like, like wood and all those different elements. But those are the big things. It's avoiding a bunch of straight lines because it's super industrial and really can be hard on
Toronto.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Especially in a city like Toronto that is so
concrete jungle.
Concrete jungle.
Yeah.
If you can integrate things like even this table, I mean, the table we're sitting at right now, it has a lot of, like, it's not perfect. It's super imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it mimics nature because that's not perfect. And it really, it seems counterintuitive, but it actually relieves some stress because it makes you feel like you're in a natural space.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sort of make sense?
For
sure.
And also, there are so many studies of when you spend time in nature, that's so beneficial for your well-being.
Exactly.
So it makes sense to then incorporate that into your home.
Exactly.
And maybe even take some stress off of you thinking you need the perfect home.
Exactly.
Because you were just talking about those imperfections, which are so natural. I think sometimes when a place looks too perfect, it's kind of eerie and cold.
Right.
It just feels like, does somebody actually live there?
And it feels like that's something that's been happening more. Like, I'm seeing it so much. And I'm like, it's just like, I get it. Like, but it does feel cold. So when you add things that mimic nature and the imperfections of that, it really, I think, has such a huge effect on our brains.
Yeah.
And our body, every part of us. Yeah.
So for one of the things we were talking about was lighting before.
Yeah.
In terms of helping with your well-being. There was another one that you mentioned in terms of like another attribute that's really important in a space.
Yeah, lighting is huge. Another attribute, like I said, like natural materials
is really huge.
And having like, this is one that I find really fascinating, but a lot of designers talk about like groups, like clustering. Mm. So having like different heights of things together, different materials together, like not having a bunch of one material together, but like mixing materials,
like textures
mixing heights, mixing sizes, but not too many. The idea is like a group of three is the perfect number.
Okay.
And having clusters of things, it actually helps your brain focus on those things better. Because if there's too many, you're overstimulated.
Right.
If there's too few, you can get over it, like your brain isn't going to focus.
Dynamic enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the group of three is kind of like that perfect balance of the two, not just visually, but also to stimulate your brain.
Right. Yeah. Like I've seen those nesting coffee tables before,
mm-hmm.
and those are usually different heights.
Yeah. Which I love.
And they always look so nice and appealing.
Totally. Because there's also that negative space there. So like the negative space allows you to focus on those things more.
Right.
If stuff is too close, it's, you can't focus on one thing. So it's like this weird kind of science of it being perfect, of like, we can't have too much, not too little. It needs to be something that feels just right, I guess. And like, it's a huge thing with feng shui and like figuring out what feels right in your space.
And that takes some trial and error.
Yes.
Because I've lived in my place almost 2 years and it has gone through so many changes.
Yeah.
And every time I change something, I'm like, why didn't I do this before?
That's where your brain always goes.
Yeah.
You're like, that is so obvious.
I'm like, how did I not know this when I moved in?
Yeah.
Exactly every single piece. And then I'm just like, it's a process and you can't rush it.
What has been like the funnest thing for you doing your space?
I think, well, so we got handed down a lot of pieces,
okay.
which I'm super grateful for because when we were there, we had a couch to sit on.
Totally.
And so there was a lot of pre-loved pieces in our home. And so it wasn't necessarily things I would choose. So it seemed a bit like disconnected because there
totally.
Were these different pieces that just, you know, we were using. And so for me, like the biggest change was going from a dark gray couch to a cream couch.
It's the best.
It literally made my living room feel totally bigger and different and just, like, I couldn't believe how much a couch color could change a space.
Changes it so much.
And I'm a big fan of, like, Facebook Marketplace
Sick.
And just finding more, like, unique vintage pieces. Obviously, you know, IKEA is amazing for some really good staples.
100%.
And I don't think you necessarily need to spend a whole lot of money because even when things are vintage, they can be, like, thousands of dollars.
100%. That's been, like, my biggest kind of thing.
Yeah.
Throughout all, because when I first started decorating, I was a broke, like, I just finished grad school and was like, I can't afford this. So figuring out how to do it cheaply, and you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the really exciting thing. It's like, takes a little bit more work.
Yeah.
But like, figuring out how to do things on a budget. That's so interesting. Yeah, it's sort of reclaiming your space.
Yeah, exactly. So even now, I'm just like, okay, like, I'm mostly happy with the living room. I'm like, happy with the den, the washroom. And now I'm like, ugh, like, I want to redo our bedroom. Because it was one of those things, again, where it's like we were handed down the bed frame. And it's a lovely bed frame, but it's just like it doesn't work in that space. It's
totally.
Like a really small bedroom. So it's like these things I'm realizing. But again, with the money piece, you can't redo everything at the same time. I just can't drop like $5,000 on so many different things.
Yeah.
And need to space it out a bit.
And also when you space it out a bit, you actually find what you really love.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a huge disservice to your space when you do have this huge amount of money and you're just like buy everything at once. Because I think a huge part of creating a home that is so authentically you is curating and collecting and gathering. And
that
really
takes time.
And it takes time. You can't do that in a month. You can't do that in a year. Like, it takes time to find little things you love. And like, a bunch of stuff in my home is from trips I've been on, like in Mexico or in Italy and all these places, little things that didn't cost me a lot then, but I love now.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's so important that you're not just following trends that then might not feel like you in a few months.
Exactly. And I think that's a huge thing because design is so big on socials. Like there's trends all the time. And it took a lot for me with my business being like, nope, you need to see what you're connected to and what your clients are connected to. Like, they're not going to love all the trends.
Yeah.
You just have to go with it. It's funny about the white or cream couch, because when I first did that like 8 years ago, I remember I did like an Instagram poll, which I think it just like started then.
Yeah,
I was like, should
yeah,
I do a white couch? Yeah, it just came out. And I was like, should I get a white or a gray couch? And everyone was like, don't get a white couch. Get a gray couch. Don't do it. It's going to get dirty.
And now everyone's like, white couch
everywhere. Yeah, it's just like white couch. And it's just like, because it really is calming for your brain.
It's calming. For sure. And I'm, you know, I'm still kind of like, oh, don't spill anything on it.
Right.
Like, I still get stressed out about that, but it's a different kind of stress. It's just like, I want to keep it clean.
You want to keep it looking beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, moving on to like maybe interior design specifics.
Yeah, totally.
What are some, I don't want to say mistakes, but maybe like common things people do that might not be super conducive to helping their well-being or...
Yeah.
You know, elevating their space.
I think one of the big things that I would caution against, I guess, when you're trying to curate a space is buying things that you're like, oh, I like this. Oh, I like this. And not thinking about how it would function in
like
your space.
Vision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think with every single room I even do with my house, I create a mood board. I'm like, okay, so here's all the things I want to buy. Is it actually going to go well with this space? Because it, one, saves me a lot of money from buying stuff that I'm like, where am I going to put this now?
Yeah.
And then also it allows me to see how it all works together. So I think like being impulsive with things you're buying is a really thing, a huge thing. A lot of people do.
I've been there too.
I'm like, oh, that's cute. And I'm like, where am I going to put this?
And then I sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I think maybe being just really kind of cognizant of your space and really being intentional with how you're designing it would be my big thing. I think getting rid of things that you don't love anymore. It sounds so Marie Kondo, but it is true. Like if something's not serving you or making you feel good or you're keeping it for like...
Because it was gifted.
Right, you feel bad, which is like... I got over that very quickly. A huge thing I told people in my life, I was like, I love you, but like don't buy me stuff for my home. Like...
Yeah.
You don't have to
personal
buy me anything.
Yeah.
I'm happy with no gifts, but like I've started doing this for other people. I'll buy them like olive oils or things they can use versus trying to guess what their style is.
Yes.
So really like creating boundaries with your space and people too, because I think we've all been there. We're like, oh, thanks for this thing that now I feel guilty not putting
it's like
it here.
Stored in your shelf and you're like, I'm never going to use this.
Yeah. So just being, not feeling bad about not liking something. And more practically speaking, I think like what is so important with a space is understanding it as one big space, even if there's different rooms. So thinking, how is this going to flow into the next space? How are the colors working from this room to this room? And then you create a space that really is calming for you and feels good. And then obviously the big thing, have a natural element in every single room. Like it doesn't all need to be natural, but I think like, making sure there's wood or texture or something that's very organic will create so much life in your space.
Yeah. Even me, I'm just like I obviously rent. So my condo has like dark wood floors, like a dark gray. And I'm just like, that's not natural. Like you don't see.
The gray is such an interesting
anywhere.
Thing that I'm like, why?
The way my space would look so much better if it had like this color floor.
Right.
Like a warmer, natural looking like wood.
For that, it's like really light carpets.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a light carpet.
Exactly.
And it just changed the room.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's those things that you like you obviously can't change if it's not a renter friendly thing, but then there's elements you can add to like, for example, the carpet covers it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think what I struggle with is like the vision.
Yes.
Like I think a lot of people, they don't look at a room and they're like, I know what's going to be in here. I know
exactly
how it's going to pan out. And I haven't, like you said, I sometimes impulsively just buy something because it looks so nice.
Yeah.
And maybe on its own it looks nice, or maybe in like somebody else's
place, yeah,
there's
for
space
sure.
for it. But in my space, I'm just like, well, now I have nowhere to put it.
Totally.
And it still looks nice. Maybe I'll save it for my next place. And I'm like, that's not
going
to happen.
Like a closet full of stuff that you're saving for your next place.
So do you see a vision right away, or does it take trial and error?
I used to think that I would go, like, I feel like what I always say is, like, everyone has their own superpower. Mine is I can go into a space and visualize how it should look. Like,
okay, that's awesome.
It's the one, if I say I have anything I'm good at, that's what I'm good at. Okay. And, like, I think that it's not natural for everyone, and that is so okay. So I think if it's not natural for you, just give yourself time and be like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to move this around and play with it. But I think, like, if you don't have a natural vision for a space, like I said, creating a mood board, like, going on Canva or, like, even just on your phone, like, putting pictures together and being like, how does this look together? How does this make me feel? Because maybe my color palette's not the same as yours, but I like how this, like, red looks with this, like, brown or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So not just trying to be, like, conscious when you're doing it. So, like, doing practical things like putting images together. Like,
Like, on Pinterest.
On Pinterest,
like,
having a board for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool that you see that, because I think it doesn't come naturally to so many people.
Yeah.
But, again, I think the giving yourself time element is really helpful, because then it's just, like, you're not pressuring yourself to get a bunch of things and fill your space up, basically.
Totally. I was with a client the other day, and she was like, I don't know what to do with this wall. And I was like, sometimes you just need a fresh set of eyes. So, like, we worked at it and worked at it, and we're like, okay, we have a plan. Like, this is going to look great. And it's like, it's kind of what my business is, and it's sort of why I love doing it, is it's a lot more, like, attainable. So I can do an hour consulting, like, go into your space and be like, I'd move this, this, and this. And then, like, it's just a second set of eyes that helps. But I think if you have a friend you trust to do that too, like, sometimes you just need another set of eyes too. You're too close to your space.
Yeah, I might ask you to come over.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to. I love what you've done with your space, so it's great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's still, like, not, there's just, you know, when you can't articulate what is bothering you?
Yeah.
It's sort of, like, in that phase where it's, like, almost there, but I'm just like, there's something
what
bothering
do I need?
Me. Yeah, exactly.
Even, like, with this space, so I know people can't see it, but I have this black cabinet that's in my dining room that was in my kitchen, and I was like, something feels weird. And my mom's like, you need to move that. And I was like, what? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Then I did, and I was like, oh my God, why didn't I do this before? So
just
even me, I'm just
like,
even with my own space, I'm like, can be too close to it.
Yeah. I think a different pair of eyes really helps. So I will take you up on that.
Yeah, 100% anytime.
For, I guess, people who are maybe living at home right now, and they just have one room, and that's sort of like their canvas, if they can't, I don't know, incorporate all these things, what is maybe one thing you would recommend for them? Would it be the nature piece, like the natural materials?
This is going to sound fun. White sheets.
White
like
sheets.
If you only have one room,
make
sure your bedding is super crisp and clean. That would be my big thing, because I think, like, we can sometimes have, like, hand-me-downs from our parents, like, things that you're just like, oh, this is, but, like, I feel like sleep is so critical to our well-being as well. So, I mean, I could go on about sleep and your bedroom as well, but I think, like, having your bed sort of be really a place of sanctuary for you is huge if you just have one room.
For sure.
I think, like, that would probably be my one big thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know there's really pretty bedding and, like, really nice stuff, but if you're, like, I already don't feel like this is my own, having really simple, beautiful, like, bedding, I think, is a good one.
Yeah, and that seems, I don't know, you want your bed to be a calming space.
Totally.
And before, when I was living at home, like, it was my bed, and then I worked also right there. So it was just, like, literally the bed was where I slept. And even, like, the room, now my room is just, like, a place where I sleep. But sometimes people work and sleep in that room. And so if you can make the bed just, like,
peaceful.
Really clean and peaceful, then I think you'd also be less likely to, like, eat in bed or just
exactly.
You know, sometimes you need those nights, but if it's like, ooh,
oh,
I get this dirty.
I was there yesterday. Like, we all go through it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's super helpful. Okay, so I like to usually end episodes with kind of like rapid fire questions.
Okay, cool.
So first question is, what is your big three for your astrology?
Okay, so I am a Virgo sun.
Okay.
I'm a Gemini moon, and I am a Pisces rising.
Oh my God, I'm a Pisces rising.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I totally see the Virgo sun
yes.
for you, because now that you're speaking about seeing a vision and
mm-hmm.
just like
yeah.
you being in design, it just makes so much sense.
Yes, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Apparently Pisces rising is the most rare
really?
Rising sign.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Right?
I can't believe I didn't know that. Because I do tarot readings
yeah,
too.
Right.
I'm like,
we
I'm so surprised. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, cool. I don't know what the moon is, but I know that Aquarius is like the most rare sun one.
Are you an Aquarius?
No, I'm not. I'm Sagittarius.
Oh, you're a Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Okay, fire.
But I think my friend is an Aquarius, and he was like, yeah, like I'm the most rare. Like that's the only thing he knew about.
Such an
sun.
Aquarius
yeah,
thing to say.
Exactly.
I'm the most special.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Right? Yeah. So what design style do you gravitate towards most? Like, I know there's these different names of like mid-century modern, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah. Like I don't know if you go towards one, or you're just like, I have my own style and I take pieces from all these other ones.
I kind of like to think I take pieces from other ones, but I would say that what I would describe it as is integrating vintage in with modern
mm-hmm.
and with nature. Like, I don't know if you follow iSwoon.
I don't.
She's amazing.
Okay.
But she's like my design like icon, and she has so much like beautiful like Italian Baroque pieces, but then like a gorgeous like modern couch. So like really integrating
like
things.
Mixing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say like mixing, but minimalist. So
right.
maybe just like having things. I never describe my design style very well, but like
yeah.
it's just having things that have meaning in a space, whatever that may
mm-hmm.
be.
Yeah. No, I've read before that it's just like if an item doesn't have a purpose and it doesn't spark joy in you, like, why is it there?
And sometimes the purpose can be, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't
yeah.
need to be, like,
this really deep.
Right.
Yeah.
It can just be, like, I love how I feel when I look at it.
100%.
Yeah.
yeah. It, not every piece is going to be from your travels or, like,
right, exactly.
It to. Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. What is the last show you binged?
Oh, my gosh. The Sopranos.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's
so funny.
Yeah. I've almost done all the, like, it's...
Is this your first time watching it?
It's my... I watched it before, but, like, years ago.
Okay.
And I don't know what happened, but I just, like, went down this Sopranos rabbit
That's
hole.
That's so
I'm,
funny.
Like,
I watched it for the first time last year with James, and, like, we both loved it.
I
and
love
it.
It
was my parents', like, favorite show growing up,
it's
but obviously
best.
I couldn't watch it with them.
Right,
like,
yeah. Now that we see what it is.
But it's one of those shows where you're like, I should rewatch it. I feel like I'll notice different things.
Yeah. And you're like, this is from a psychology perspective. You're like,
oh my gosh, I know.
Tony Soprano is so fascinating.
So interesting.
Yeah.
All the characters.
They're
really,
amazing.
Yeah.
yeah. It's so good.
No, that's an awesome show. I feel like I'm like, I want to rewatch it now.
I know. It's so good.
Okay. The last question, which I ask everybody, is what does health mean to you?
It means that I'm able to be... Taking care of my own health means I can be a better friend and person and, like, daughter and sibling and a better just kind of person in the world, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So when I take care of myself, I'm able to be better outside of myself.
Yeah, that's such a, like, selfless answer.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Yeah, this was a fascinating topic. And I'll be sure to, like, maybe link things, like...
Yeah, totally.
For people. And before I end, because sometimes I forget to do this, tell people your Instagram,
okay,
website,
great. Yeah.
everything, so that they can find you.
So all my socials are Roses on Adelaide. I am not good at TikTok, so I would not recommend going there. But my Instagram and my website is Roses on Adelaide. Same with my Pinterest. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I'll link that all in the show notes.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, you have a lovely home. From
Thank
the room
you.
I've seen. I'm sure I'll
Thank
see the
you.
Rest later.
Yes.
But yeah, thanks so much for coming on, and I will speak to you all next week. Okay, bye.